During the Feast of Tabernacles last year in Nigeria, let me go back and welcome all the guests that we have, the visitors. Glad to have you here. Looks like a fairly full crowd today. That means that when we have a full crowd, it means that Murfreesboro is not having a potluck afterward. So people can attend. During the feast, as I was starting out over in Nigeria, there was a split sermon by Oliver Ekwe, who lives over in the Owerri area. He's an Igbo. Those of you who are old enough to remember the Biafran War and the Igbo. And he gave a sermon entitled, Walking and Living in the Light. Now, that's not my sermon title today, but that was his. I'll not give his sermon on walking and living in the light. It was an excellent sermon. But I'd like to tell you about the beginning of his sermon as an introduction to the message that I want to take one part, the first part of his sermon, and expand on that first part. In his sermon, my sermon, by the way, I'll give you the title. The title is Choose Your Friends Carefully. Choose Your Friends Carefully. Let me tell you, if you've been in the church any time at all, you know, you have seen people who were led astray by their friends, where their friends were just a bad influence. And even if you haven't been in the church for a long while, all of us remember from school, high school, college, people who chose the wrong friends. I mean, parents always worry about their kids choosing the wrong friends and having them lead them off into bad things. Say, well, my son was not like that until he got to running around with so-and-so. Of course, so-and-so's mother is saying the same thing about your child. But I'll not give that sermon, but my sermon is Choose Your Friends Carefully. And as a subtitle or a purpose is to show that we want friends. We can let friends influence us positively or negatively. I've seen people, you know, who really influence somebody positively. I've seen where my children chose somebody to be friends with in high school that was a good influence, or in the church when they were in high school, that was a good influence. And I want, the beginning of his sermon, he started in John chapter 1, verse 1, and he read down to verse 9. John chapter 1, and verse 1. These are verses that we know, but I want to emphasize especially some of the verses that he read here. He was emphasizing the fact that this world is deceived by Satan, is walking in darkness. Jesus came as light. But the point we have to all realize is, as much as God loves this world, and we should love the people in it, not the society, but we should not let them influence us the wrong way. That there is a difference. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's Jesus. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. And verse 4 began the point that Oliver Ekwe, Mr. Ekwe, was trying to make. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Here, light came into a very dark world in the form of Jesus Christ and the truth that He brought, and the Spirit of God that He brought. Verse 5, and the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness did not comprehend it. Now this morning, good neighbors that we have were out, and they're really wonderful folks, too nice for God to call them. Well, there are some nice people here, you, but the rest of us are not. But you're a really nice person. Always were, right? But they are very nice. He is a lay minister, and they were out working in their yard. And as we drove off, of course, I was dressed, you know, Lucretia and I were dressed up, suit and tie, and they're out working in their yard. And I said, what nice folks. I said, they should be going to church today. But, you know, they're in darkness. It is not their fault. Absolutely not their fault. They are wonderful people. Verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that is Jesus Christ, and the truth of the kingdom that he brought, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man who comes into the world. Now, God calls the weak of the world. But we have to realize that he calls the weak and he gives them light. But he has not called everyone and given them light. Then he turned to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. By the way, the bulletin says that this is a sermonette, but Fred Jr. announced correctly, it's two split sermons today. Ephesians 5, verse 8, for you were once darkness. That's all of us. We were all in darkness at one time. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now he's distinguishing the fact that there are people who are in the light and there are people who are still in the dark. God did not call the great, but he called them into the light to change. Going on, verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. God called me out of ignorance into truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. But now notice verse 11. And Mr. Ekway commented on this one right here. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. And he went to a verse that I'm not going to turn to. It's John 8, verse 44, where Jesus was speaking to the people and he said, you are of your father, the devil. Now, I was of my father, the devil, and God called me out of it. I wish he had called my mother, my father, my brother, my sister, but he didn't. My parents were in darkness. They divorced. They had difficulties. My sister would have nothing to do with my father. My father would have nothing to do with my sister. I love them. They're living in darkness without the Spirit of God. Dad, of course, is gone. Mom is gone. But we must recognize that as wonderful as many people are, they're in darkness. It's not their fault. They don't know it. But it's the darkness that Satan has brought on this world. It says, remember in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, that the dragon, Satan, has deceived the whole world. They're deceived. They don't know they're deceived. It's not their fault. But they are deceived. Then Oliver talked about how people in darkness can negatively affect people who have been called into the light. That's the part I wanted to get to. And he made this statement. He gave a parable. Now, I didn't ask if this was a common Nigerian parable or not. I don't know if he coined it, I should have asked. But Lucretia and I both wrote it down. He said this, "Tell me who is your friend, and I will tell you who you are." I thought, what a profound statement. We have parables that say the same thing, but we word it a little differently. But that's a good statement. Tell me who is your friend, and I will tell you who you are. We're known by the friends we keep. We're affected by the friends we keep. Then he went on to say, many have run away from the faith because of bad company. And I'll repeat that again. And it is true. We've seen that. People who are faithful, they develop friendships that are not good for them. And it ends up taking them right away from obedience to God. Many, I'll repeat it. Many have run away from the faith because of bad company. And you know, that's a parable. Mankind has many sayings about choosing a friend. I'll give you an example. Benjamin Franklin. See, this is not something that we know alone. Benjamin Franklin said in Poor Richard's Almanac, be slow in choosing a friend. Slower in changing. Be slow in choosing a friend. George Washington stated, associate yourself with men of good quality if you esteem your own reputation. For 'tis better to be alone than in bad company. And I agree. W. Somerset Maugham, who's the English playwright, novelist, short story writer, stated this, and this is an interesting statement. And from what I know of Somerset Maugham, I would not have wanted him to be my personal friend, even him. But he said this, when you choose your friends, don't be shortchanged by choosing personality over character. Henry Ford said, my best friend is the one who brings out the best in me. Now, I don't quote a lot of parables like that, but you know something? Paul did occasionally quote parables. He quoted a Greek parable. And he did so in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. And I will turn there. 1 Corinthians 15. I don't bring a lot of poetry to read to you or prose or sayings, but I thought those were interesting. And Paul quoted a Greek proverb in 1 Corinthians 15, 33. Now, they would have known this. He was writing to people in Corinth. They were Greeks. There would have been some Jews there, but they were mostly Greeks. And he says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. That happened to have been a Greek proverb. The first they have found of it is in a play by a Greek playwright named Meander. And he was a playwright of the 4th century, although it continued into the early 3rd century also. And it had probably become a very common Greek proverb. Matter of fact, it's not even certain that Meander coined it. It's possible that he didn't. Because some think that Euripides originally said it a century or more earlier. And I want to quote something out of, this is the Tyndale New Testament commentary on 1 Corinthians about this very verse. It says, do not be misled, introduces a proverb found, for example, in Meander. The play is called Theus. Some think it is perhaps as early as Euripides. And the word company is probably rightly translated, homileia is probably rightly translated company here, but the word is often used of communications. You know, if you've got the King James, you've got evil communications. But the word was used for company or communications, because what do you do when you're in a company? You communicate with them. So it's either evil communications or evil company. But it was a word that was talking about both. But the word is often used of the communications people make with each other, especially speeches. We get our word homily from it. Most of us don't use that homily, but many times in the world, the pastor's message is called a homily. And it's from the same word. Character renders ethē. The word is plural. So it's not just character. It's characters, but it probably isn't talking about you having more than one character. It's talking about habits, and he says that, and would be better translated habits. Paul is saying that keeping the wrong kind of company, that of people who deny the resurrection, and that was part of chapter 15, may well corrupt good Christian habits and turn people away from the truth. So in the context of 1 Corinthians, there were people there who were saying, there is no resurrection, or it's already passed. And he's saying, hanging around with people who are bringing in false doctrine can corrupt your own habits and lead you astray. And that's a reminder for all of us. That reminds us of another verse, at least it reminds me of another verse, about not hanging around with people who have, you know, heresy. They're espousing their own teaching, their own beliefs. And Romans 16, verse 17, says much the same thing. Romans 16. And verse 17, sometimes people apply this to the ministry or church pastor, which it applies to him too. Actually, this is not written to just church pastors. It's written to the Roman church and is preserved for all of us. It's preserved for you and me. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned. Somebody's introducing some new teaching to you. And avoid them. So there's a command of God. What sort of friends should we have? Well, if they're bringing around some new teaching, you might say, well, look, there's a proper way to bring about new. I mean, if I think or you think that there is some doctrine that is truth that has not been known, there's a proper way to bring that about. I mean, if I believe there's some new doctrine, is the proper way for me to bring it about is come here and tell everybody here. That's just going to cause division. Is it to call my friend across country and tell him? That's going to cause division. Proper thing for me to do is to go to Bruce Gore, my regional pastor. Proper thing for you to do would to come to Bill Vernature myself and discuss it. And if you know, we'd say, wow, you've really got it. Then take it to Bruce Gore, and then it works up to the home office and Council of Elders, General Conference of Elders. There's a proper way, but that's not the way people do. And that's what he's talking about here. If they're bringing divisions contrary to the doctrine that what you've learned, avoid them. That was the point that Paul was making to the Corinthians. James 4 and verse 4. James 4. By the way, that verse was written to every member, not elders alone. James 4 and verse 4. This is talking about friendship, who our friends should be. Some friends are going to destroy us. Those don't need to be our friends. Some people, if we make friendships, are going to build us up. They're going to help us. They're going to encourage us. They may even correct us or rebuke us in love. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? All right, we know there's a balance there. We should be friendly with our neighbors. We should be friendly with our coworkers on the job. But we don't need to be close friends. Being friendly and making someone who is not going to build us up a friend, close friend, is not going to be for our good. Someone who is disobeying God, someone who believes in It's just fine for anyone to be what, it's okay to kill unborn babies. It's okay to lie. I mean, in the world, it's considered okay to lie. If you watch a Disney movie, let me tell you, there's almost guaranteed in any Disney movie, almost guaranteed, especially a cartoon, there's going to be lying and magic. But even in the ones that are not cartoons, the heroes, which are usually in a Disney cartoon, who's the hero? Some kid. It's going to be some kid, right? Usually not going to be an adult. It's going to be a kid. Those kids are going to tell lie after lie after lie throughout the movie. Okay, that's a movie. But if you have close friends who commonly tell lies, or who gossip, it's going to tend to rub off on us. If they are someone who is main interest in life is money, getting wealthy, that's going to rub off on us. I mean, it's very tempting. Somebody who they have a new car, they want a new house, they want this, they're working hard, they have lots of money. And we see this car, and we see their house, and we see their fancy clothes, and we see all the things they have. And you know, covetousness is like a disease, it's catching. Materialism is like a disease, it's catching. It's not wrong to have a nice house, not wrong to have a nice car, not wrong to have nice clothes. It is wrong to have that as our God. That's what our talk is going to be about. That's what our discussion, that's what the mind is on. If you're talking to them, are they talking about God, His kingdom, or making money? It's very catching. Very catching. If we make ourselves a friends of the world, we make ourselves an enemy of God. Very clear. There's a balance in there. Doesn't mean you have to, you know, dislike people or shun them or won't let them in your house, won't talk to them. But making them a close friend, anybody that we make a close friend, their personality and their character will rub off on us. It just will. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 18. Now we often read these verses right here in connection with marriage. But it applies also to friendship. Because it doesn't just say marriage here. That's part of it, surely. Now, the Bible talks about those who come into the church and they are married to someone who doesn't know the truth. The Bible talks about how to deal with them, live with them in peace. Maybe setting the right example will lead them to conversion, it says. But if you are free of that, we should not get into it. But you know, it doesn't say marriage here. That would be part of it. Friendship is like a yoke. Partnership in a business is like a yoke. You're working together with that person. You're with that person. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship? You might say, what friendship has righteousness with lawlessness? That's from the New King James. And that's what the word really means, is there is lawlessness. People who may be very, you know, I kept Christmas, I kept Easter. And these people are very sincere in keeping it. But that's not in the Bible. That is contrary to what the Bible, the law of the Bible, the Sabbath, which is one of the Ten Commandments. So we have to say, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? My neighbors have no idea that they are violating God's law. They don't know that. But it's talking, when it's fellowship, it's talking about being yoked. Putting yourself together. It doesn't mean saying, hi, how are you doing? Oh, can I help you? You know, let me help you take this out of the back of your pickup. Let me do this for you, whatever. It's not saying that. It's talking about being yoked together. Being a close friend. What communion has light with darkness? Now, that fits right into Oliver Ekwe's sermon, doesn't it? What communion has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Another name for Satan. What part has a believer with an unbeliever? Now, even a believer who has a bad attitude could be negative in our lives. Verse 16, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? He's not really talking about the physical temple of God. He's talking about the spiritual temple of God. And you see that when what he says here. For you are the temple of the living God. And the world, Satan's world, they are the temple of the false god, the idol. He's talking about people. Not that you, he's not talking about going down to a physical temple of the idol or a physical temple of God. He's talking about people. We are the temple of the living God, and the people in the world unknowingly have got a false god. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. And it says, I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, here this is talking about, can talk about friendship, marriage or friendship. Come out from among them and be separate. Jesus didn't refuse to talk or go to them or preach them, but you know, he did not make them his friends, his close friends. He was nice to them. He was friendly. Come out from among them and be separate. He set the right example, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So as friendly as we are, God insists that his people maintain a little distance. When we make friends, we must carefully choose who our friends are going to be. There are a lot of proverbs that go into this. I won't read them all, but I would like to read just a few. In Proverbs 13 and verse 20, the world has proverbs on choosing your friends carefully, because even though their emphasis is not on the spiritual, but on building you up in a right way of character. I mean, there are a lot of people in the world who have better character than I do, but they don't have knowledge. They may know a lot of things I don't, but there are some things they don't know. But here are some things of character, and we're speaking of some spiritual wisdom. Proverbs 13 and verse 20. He who walks with wise men will be wise. The Bible says the wisdom of this world will be destroyed. So he's not talking about men in the world who are wise. It says they are wiser in the ways of the world than the children of light. But the companion of fools will be destroyed. So I have to think about it. You have to think about it. Are my friends not only wise, but mainly spiritually wise? I knew I'd step on somebody's toes. He's upset. Daniel, we'll try to straighten this out between us later, if I've offended you. The companion of fools will be destroyed. Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25. Proverbs 22, verse 24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. Many things that people do can rub off on us. And here is one of them he specifically mentions is anger. Now, I've known some people who attend church, have been baptized, who have a serious problem with their temper. And there are just some people that I've learned, they don't seem to work on their temper. They don't recognize it as the problem that they should. You are with them. You try to be nice to them. But after a while, you say, I just can't hang around with this person, because this person has a bad temper. And tempers rub off on each other. They do. They can rub off on you. And there's some that I've just had to say, I cannot have dealings with this individual. Now, I have to pray for that person from a distance. I can say hello and how are you and be nice, shake their hand, but not get too close to them. Proverbs 27 and verse 6. Friends can do us a lot of good. So the scriptures give us both examples. They give us the example of people who have bad habits, and if we make them close to us, their bad habits will rub off on us. But then it gives examples of people who have good habits, who set the right example, who show character in their personal life. And maybe they don't have the exciting personality. You know, like Somerset Maugham said, don't make the mistake of choosing your friends by personality rather than character. Far better to choose somebody with character. Here in verse 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend. A good friend is someone who loves you enough, you know, to tell you things that maybe you don't want to hear. I mean, if it's even from, you know, it's a good friend who tells you you still have spinach between your teeth. It's a good friend who tells you, I'm sorry to tell you this, but your breath is terrible. You know, people get offended if you tell them that. But you know, a wise person says, thank you. But there may be other things where somebody says, you know, you just have a serious problem with this and you need to work on it. Now, if you have a friend who has a temper and you say, you know, Bill, Joe, Harry, you need to work on your temper. And that's fine if they do, but if they don't, it's time to move on. Love them, pray for them, but don't be that close. But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Now, there are some people who just really are good at flattering. And they say lots of nice things, but they're deceitful. Proverbs, continuing on in this chapter, Proverbs 27 and verse 9, shows how a good friend who is a Christian, a godly person, can help you. Ointment and perfume delight the heart. I say, boy, that smells nice. Now, I personally prefer perfumes that are floral. That, you know, are like a rose or something like that. That has a nice floral smell. I enjoy that. They delight the heart. But not so much as a good friend who gives some hearty counsel here. And the sweetness of a man's friend does so by hearty counsel. Now, this verse is translated many different ways in different Greek translations, but I tried to look it up. It's kind of hard to know, but I really like that. Hearty, that means strong counsel. Sometimes something you don't want to hear, but then you think, you know, that was good. That was good for me, for this person to say that. I'm not going to be offended. Proverbs 27 and verse 17 is another, shows a good friend. Good friend doesn't just flatter you, go along. Good friend's going to tell you when you're wrong. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Now, all of us have known where we have gone to somebody, a brother, a sister, and tried to help them, and all they did was get offended. All of us have done that. We've offended somebody by going to point out a problem. That's probably not somebody that we're going to have to continue with as a friend. But real Christian friends are people who can correct each other, can help each other, can lead each other up, can encourage one another. And it isn't just saying the bad things. There are times to say good things when our friend has done good things. To say, you know, you have done well. Sometimes we have a problem in our society. We're a put-down society. And we're not that adept at praising each other when there are good things. But, you know, a good friend also will praise us when we have done well. And we will say good things about someone when they've done well. But there are friends who can lead us down. There are friends who can lead us up. And God warns us to choose our friends carefully.